I'm so excited to share this message. Again, when I prepare messages, I just sit back. Holy Spirit really puts it together. It's so fun. And this one is another one. So its title is Pursuing Rachel. No, I'm not talking about episode of Friends or please do not contact my fiance and say Donald's speaking about women here. Please don't do that. All right. But if you don't mind turning to 2 Peter 3:9. This is going to be the text for tonight. Okay. Again, 2 Peter 3:9. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing to any shall perish, but to come into repentance. Okay, so a couple of weeks, maybe last week, I was reading my devotion, and this verse really struck me. Well, a couple of words in this verse. And the Holman Christian Standard Bible translation says this: the Lord does not delay his promises, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Now, I was thinking about those words, patient with you. And like, it really struck me because I'm like, wow, like God has given me a time for me to turn to him. Again, repentance is in the word of changing your mind, right? We freely want to use that word, but really it's changing your mind, maybe changing your mind about sin, changing your mind about God even. And so that's really true. The word itself is what that means, repentance. Other translations within this verse is, he is patient for your sake. It's not slack, it's meant, does not delay beyond the appointed time, but is never slow and is never late. The word long-suffering in the vines, it is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy and is used by God. And if you don't know what mercy means, I'm going to share with you right now. Mercy means forgiveness or kindness, particularly to a wrongdoer. Now, leading up to this verse, Peter is giving the Gentile Christians warnings in 2 Peter. And again, leading up to this verse, I remember last year I taught a class on 2 Peter. And as I'm gathering this information, I noticed something. I had a list. I had a list of, and you know, 2 Peter 1:4, it says, we are divine. How is it? We partake in his divine nature. Okay. And then I said, okay, well, let me make a list of what this divine nature means within the book. Then the another side was the world full of corruption. And let me just tell you, there's a lot bad than good. Okay? A lot. And so Peter's just given a warnings, but here in 2 Peter, he speaks about three things here. God's heart towards us says that he doesn't want any to perish. That's his heart for man, right? Second thing speaks about his long suffering. Given us mercy for a reason. There's a time he's given for everybody to turn to him. And number three is God's mission for all to come to repentance. Now, I believe it was last Wednesday, Pastor Bailey beautifully ended the service where it's talking about the walls. Remember when man creates walls, they fall down eventually, right? And when Christ builds his walls in Matthew 16:8, he's telling Peter, I'm going to build my church, right? And one statement Pastor Bailey really got me on was, ever since then, in that verse, Christ's only concern is building his church. And we're going to go a little dovetail from that thought. But in the, so, and 2 Peter 3:9 also speaks about the slackness, right? Some count as slackness. What does this speak about? It speaks about Christ's promise that he's returning. And he one day is going to rapture the church and he's going to establish his kingdom here on earth. Once again, right? And so, but in the meantime, he's building his church. Okay. don't know about you, but when I read this verse, I'm quiet before God, and I ask God, I'm like, God, please let me have a love for the lost the way you do. And let me sympathize, or let me really feel the magnitude of how bad you want people to come to repentance. I mean, because we live in a world full of corruption, we could be blind to the fact of what's our purpose in life. It's to lay upon the foundation that is Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:9 through 11. And so this foundation already laid by Christ is what we're doing. We're helping Christ build his church by what? Seeking the lost. This is his heart. But I'm going to reveal a little thing to you tonight. First, 2 Samuel, if you don't mind turning there. 2 Samuel, and this is, and it's hard to believe, as a pastor, I have these feelings. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. I want you to turn there so you can see what I'm saying. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 9. Here you can tell Saul's heart before he was king. Right here. You can tell. In verse 2 it says this. And he had a choice and a handsome son whose name was Saul. And there was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel, for his shoulders upward, and he was taller than any of the people. In verse 3, now the donkeys of Kish was Saul's father, and were lost. See, that he had to make that sound. So, in the story, his father tells Saul to go out and retrieve his donkeys, in verse 3, right? And then in verse 4, he's traveling through Ephraim. And then verse 5, before then, his father's telling him to retrieve these donkeys. He has his servant tag along with him. Okay? All right. So he's going through Ephraim. They're looking all over trying to find these donkeys. Saul says this in verse 5. Come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us. But right now, he's just trying to end his journey early. Like basically, yeah, let's just stop all this and let's go back. Okay, in verse 6. And he said to him, look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he's an honorable man, and all that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? In verse 8, look at me in verse 8 right here. And the servant answered Saul and again and said, look, I have here a shekel of silver, and I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. Okay, I know I was just gibbering right there. But in verse 8, and the servant answered Saul again, who's offering this money? Servant. So here's three things you can catch up on. Let's go in verse 2. I mean, we had Saul going, huh? But in verse 2, this is why God tells Samuel about David. God doesn't see what man sees. You know, man sees the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. But look at these three things that you pick up about Saul before he was king. Number one, he was selfish and lazy. And in verse 3, where he wanted to give it up. In verse 3, he wanted to give up and not retrieve these donkeys. Okay, second thing, in verse 5, he's not caring, right? He's not caring. He said, let's just forget about it. And then the third thing is he's not living a life of sacrifice. Who's offering this? It's his servant. But you can just see his heart. Now, in reality, and sometimes, and I hate to admit it, my heart can get in these categories too. I can become selfish. I can become lazy. I can become not caring. And also I can, sometimes not wanting to sacrifice. Like when when God tells Donald to go out to, 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 to seek the lost. I'm like, nah, God, right now I don't got that time. Like, right now I'm busy. Or God says, hey, do this in my name's sake. And I'm like, oh, right now, Lord, come on. I can be in this category, right? And outreach is not a natural thing. And that's why prayer is so important, because it's not a natural thing, you know? Another translation of 2 Peter 3:9 says this: God is patient because he wants everyone to turn from sin and no one to be lost. That's his desire. That's his desire. Okay, so let's turn to Genesis 29. And this is the Rachel that I was referring to. Genesis 29. So what we just reviewed in 1 Samuel was that, chapter 9, was man's view on man. Okay? At times it can be selfish. At times it get lazy. At times it doesn't share God's heart in a way. But in this story, I like this story because it really, it's a little insight of what God would do for us in Genesis 29. So in the story, Jacob is here visiting his uncle, right? And the reason why he's visiting his uncle is because his brother is coming after him to kill him. What a great brother. Anyway, so in that, why is Esau trying to kill him? Well, he stole his birthright, and then he also stole the blessing. So he's going out, and from afar he sees Rachel going to the well. Okay, from afar, already fallen in love with her. So much so that it said that he kissed her and his voice lifted up. I had to check within that. I guess that's the custom. Cause I was like, wait, sly guy. Like, that's a little too, that's pressure on, you right? You know, no touch love, you know? Anyway, so, but that's just the custom, you know, to going up. But anyway, he loved her, and he worked the first 7 years trying to, achieve his future bride. But his uncle tricked him, right? In a way, in Genesis 29, verse 26 says this, and Laban said, it must be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Now, I can't admit that he was angry at first, because basically, I'm supposed to be the deceiver. What are you doing? But anyway, I'm sure he was mad at the fact that he had to work another 7 years to get actually the woman that he wanted. Even after the marriage, he wanted her to have kids, and she was barren, if you know the story. And so, and Jacob didn't care how long it took. Like, he was pursuing somebody. And the long suffering wasn't in anger. It was just like waiting to be with the one that he wants to be with. And I think, and that's God's heart, when he's not angry about our responses or lack of, because he's waiting for all to come to repentance. And this is his desire, because he doesn't want no one to perish. And he was pursuing her at all costs. This is Jacob. Nothing mattered, right? I remember a couple of years ago, my coworker Bob, he's a character. But he goes like, man, I've been waiting so many years, and I've been looking for Jesus, and I still haven't found him. And then I reply, well, you don't find Jesus. He finds you. And then that meaning, like, that pursuit, because God wants that, God wants you in a way where he's like, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how long I have to labor. I'm going to go after you. I'm going to go after you at all costs. And this is God's heart. Let me give you a few verses about God's heart towards man. In Genesis 22:8 says this, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 10:28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And then I like Ezekiel with these two verses. I really like this one. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And in Ezekiel 34, verse 31, you are my flock and the flock of my pasture, and you are a man, and I am your God, says the Lord. And in 1 Samuel 2, verse 35, then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Now, you're saying, Donald, it's impossible to love the lost like God loves the lost. It's impossible. We can't fathom that. We can't resemble that. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he calls you faithful who will also do it. I can't love the same way God loved, in a way to love somebody other than myself. Well, Romans 5:5 says this, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And now, in closing, this was going to be really like visual, because it was a dollar, okay? I had a dollar, and I don't know what I did with it, but anyway, so. And should anybody got a dollar I can borrow? No. Okay. All right. I got to pay you actually after this, because I'm going to do something to it. Thank you, Carolyn. Carolyn. Okay. So don't worry, Carolyn. I'm going to pay you back. This is it. Okay. Thank you for the illustration, Liz. She's clutch on this one. Anyway. So what's the value of this? Jackson, what's the value of this? What's a dollar? Okay. Okay. Wow. He's a smart kid. Anyway. In life, this is sometimes what we do. We do this to ourselves. And why is God long suffering? It's because this is what we do. And I'm telling you, I'm going to pay you back. Don't worry. This is what we do. We do this to ourselves. When God is long suffering, waiting for us to return to him. He's not in anger. He's just saying, I'm waiting to you just surrender. I think the reason why we rest is so we can give up and say, God, just let me be under your everlasting arms. Please. Because in life, this is what happens. This is what happens. We do this to ourselves constantly. Or maybe we're in the presence of God and we still, you know, in the way we still feel like this. But then you were like, oh, but we're not worthy. God, you're not, I'm not worth 7 years. I'm not worth 14 years. I'm not worth it. God, you know what I did last night? You know what I did last week? I'm not worth it. And Jackson, please tell me, even after what I did to this, what's the value of this? Still a dollar. It doesn't matter, because the reason why he's long suffering, the reason why he's patient, and the reason why he wants all to turn is because he's waiting, because you're valuable. So much so, he went on the cross and he said, it is finished. Actually, those terms were the beginning of I love you. If you didn't know, that's where it originated from. Not love that we can just talk about it, but love was demonstrated on that one day. And what that verse struck me for was like, wow, he's patient with me. He's been patient with me. He took his time with me. My goodness, it took me 22 years to get my spiritual eyes open. I accepted Christ a long time ago. But I needed that revelation. I needed God to say, God, am I worthy to be back to your presence? Am I worthy to even, just like the prodigal, am I even worthy to eat with you in the table rather than with the pigs? And God says, you are worthy. Yes, I'm going to work 7 years. Yeah, and I don't mind 14 years. If I have Rachel, that's all I want. And I'm counting the days down. And I'm counting it down. Why? Because she's worth more than anything, more than gold, more than any treasure on earth. And this is why I'm pursuing. And this is why he pursues us. And this is why he's long suffering. This is why he seeks no one to perish. These are the reasons. And the value of his. So now we know this, right? We know this. And we know God is pursuing people. I love this church. I really do.
But let's go out even in our jobs and say, hey, you know God is pursuing you? And you know want to know the evidence of that? You're there. Of all the places you could work, you're there. Imagine that. A missionary on the field. You know, I learned that from my mom a long time ago. Anywhere you set your foot, that's where the mission field starts. And that's where, and let people know that God is after them. Just like Jacob was after Rachel. And he would do anything to get her. And this is why he's longing. He's long suffering. He's waiting. And he could be waiting like this sometimes. Like, he tells me to go out for the lost. Well, Lord, there are donkeys. There's corruption in the world. There are donkeys out there. Well, Donald, you acted like a donkey. Well, just go out there and do something. Go out there because I was patient with you. I waited for you. And if I had that same heart and that same desire that God was penetrating me with, then it's so easy to go out to somebody else. And it, again, it's not naturally, right? It's natural. I can't go out and just say, oh, let me just love you today. And then a person be like, wait a minute, pause. Like, no, it's like, no, Lord, please give me a heart. Give me a heart for people. Give me the patience for people even, you know, because some people are hard to minister to. Just give me the patience, Lord, and knowing that you're long-suffering, and knowing that you seek no one to perish, and to all to come to repentance. What is repentance? Just to the revelation of Christ, for him to be revealed in people's lives, rather than just text, rather than, you know, white and black, you know, black letters with white pages. No, something that's revealing in their heart, that's saying something about, wow, he's really real. He really wants me. I'm really valuable. I'm Rachel in this story. That's what he wants. He seeks no one to perish. He seeks no one to perish. Why that verse struck me so much? He's been patient with me. God, please, please let me have your heart. Please let me have your heart. Lord, thank you for this time, Lord. I just pray for anyone here who has not accepted you. I don't know what you're waiting for. But he's not by the watch, or he's not by the microwave time and saying, man, I'm giving this guy. No, he's like at the edge of his feet waiting to be accepted by you and entering into you, being poured the Holy Spirit in where you have the love capacity to love others. And reaching people not outside of yourself. It's not about you. It's about you being a vessel, you being an instrument of God, you laying upon the foundation which was set on Christ. And Lord, I just pray anyone not here saved, just say, Lord, please, I want to be valuable by you, Lord. Please, please come into my heart. Please come into my heart. You've been long suffering for one reason, for me to say yes. You didn't stop at Adam. You didn't stop at Adam. They failed and they brought sin into the world, but you didn't stop by it. You kept pursuing. And ever since Matthew 16:18, he kept building. He's keep building his church. He's adding more members. Just say, you're not saying yes to this church. You're not saying yes to any assembly. You're saying that the one that really matters, right? The heaven. You're telling God, I want to enter in where the gates of hell cannot prevail, because those walls are built by you. The same hands that were crucified and the holes were the same hands that repairs a broken heart. Please come in my heart. And Lord, and help us, Lord, as believers, Lord. Peter's given warning to, the Gentile Christians. But Lord, it's warnings for us. Yes, there's corruption in this world. But what's our purpose? Our purpose is to sit in the sidelines and talk about it? Or talk about the news of today and what's going on with everything else? No. Our job is what? Having your heart for what? The lost. Give us the heart for the lost. Lord, please, Lord. There's so many Rachel's and people's families here today, Lord, that's been running, that, you know, constant words have been said and nothing has been happening. But I pray, Lord, that you say that if you lift, your name, if you lift yourself, you draw all men to yourself. And that's what we're saying, Lord. We need you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Have this love shed abroad us, Lord, that we can go out and say, hey, God is pursuing you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. And you never will. You never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. You told us you'll be by our side to the end. Thank you, Jesus. Please, Lord, add more people here, Lord. Add more people, Lord. You're pursuing. This is 2021. If you didn't get the memo, he's doing something for a reason. He's pursuing people individually. It's time to break off the chains, break off the excuses and say, oh, well, God, I'm not worth it. No, stop. You're so worth it that he said he loved you on that cross.